Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York. And I'm talking to you from my bright red desk here on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And we have Mark is not going to be joining us tonight because he is off teaching yoga bright and early at 5 in the morning. We have to honor that getting up at 5 in the morning thing to go teach yoga while Heather and I are burning the midnight oil. So, Heather, are you out there? Nope, not yet. Okay, Heather's signing in from the road, so we'll see when she joins us. And forward we go. So what we talk about here on the week on Access Astrology is what's going on in the heavens above and how it works, how we work with it, how we connect with it and work with it on a whole different level. And our job with the weekly weather, or with the Access Astrology, keep calling it weekly weather, it's Mercury retrograde, people. It's already close. Our job with this show is to talk to you about the energy and then take calls from listeners with questions about how to work with the energy and to talk about what you can do to use it. So one of the things that's really big in the sky this week is we have a couple of hammers of God and fingers of Thor, which always are very much excitement. They keep us on our toes, and they help us move
and
forward.
Hammered so and Heather, fingered.
Pardon?
Hi,
what? Yep.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota.
Yay.
And I'm saying the hammers of God and the fingers of the hammers of Thor, fingers of God, it all feels very hammered and fingered. It's not an easy combination.
Not an easy week, no. People are feeling really
yeah.
a little stressed. And, you know,
with that
it's just kind of
stationary, too.
So we have Pluto station. We also have a new moon coming. And we also have the Libra ingress before we talk to everybody next week. A lot of astrological happenings in the sky. Plus, we've had some solar flares. Heather, talk to us about solar flares. You're my solar flare goddess.
Last week we had, and solar flares are tricky for astrologers because we can't predict them.
Right.
We just have to roll with them when they show up. And I think of it that the sun is the energy that all the other planets and aspects work with. It throws the ball, and then the planets throw the ball amongst themselves. But all the light, all the energy for the rest of the aspects come from the sun. And so when the sun is quiet, there's a slow, steady stream of energy coming, and we can predict the feeling of the aspects. When the sun starts to flare and storm, especially when those storms head towards Earth, it turns up the volume on all the other aspects. It just pours a lot of juice in the lines. So, you know, the good aspects get great, the bad aspects get difficult. But not only that, people tend to feel a little fried, like their ions have been sheared. And I noticed that people, right when the storms are hitting and when the aurora borealis is supposed to be beautiful, though it was overcast here, darn it, people report feeling unusually tired or exhausted or a little frazzled and fried.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we stand back and look at the patterns throughout history, the solar storms tend to be turning points in history when people, when we notice later that this is where people got excited enough to make a difference. And they look for new answers. Could be political answers. It's certainly a much easier time to get political change moving. Revolutions happen. It could be a conservative revolution or a Democrat or liberal revolution. It seems to cycle between the two. Now, we were expected to have an unusually high solar storm, and they were predicting it for years, and so was I. Between, you know, it started up when Obama came into office, and then it got unusually quiet for one of the longest quiet spells we've ever seen. And you could not get political change for love or money. It, you know, was coming in when Obama came in, then around 2008, instead of getting really, really active the way it was supposed to, 2008 to 2012, it hit one of the longest quiet spells since the Baroque period, when the sun went without sunspots, as far as we can figure out, for about 30 years, and ended in an unusually large storm around the time of the French Revolution. So we see them, and so again, that's where it drives astrologers nuts. It's supposed to be roughly every 11 years, a little bit less than a Jupiter cycle, but it's not predictable. Mm-hmm. This one turns out not to be getting as big as some of them do. And it's very interesting to go to spaceweather.com, and if you look through the subfiles, at least until recently, I'm not sure if it's still there, but I think it is, you could find out what the sun was doing when you were born. Mm-hmm. And that's a really interesting process to look at, because when the sun is really active, we see what's going here on Earth more. It's politically active, but people look less to the stars. They look less to the outer stratosphere and the big spiritual picture. They're just busy. When the sun is quiet, we can see farther out into the solar system and tend to look for that for an answer, for better or for worse. Now, a lot of astrologers were born under a quiet sun because we look farther out. Mm-hmm. But some of the more political astrologers were born under a pretty active sun. Bill Clinton was born under one of the most active suns we've ever seen. And it, you know, was a time when people were looking for new answers, and he certainly, you know, radiates an active sun personality. Most of the Bush administration was born under a very quiet sun, just like the astrologers, and they tend to live by their philosophies and weren't really seeing what was going on Earth, as far as I can see, which was kind of a, you know, look carefully. But right now, the sun is very active, unusually active for a quiet spell, but not as active as it gets under a really active sunspot peak. It's not a big solar storm. But last Friday, two large sunspots, not huge ones, not X-class, but M-class, which are the next one down, I think, came at Earth, one right after the other, and they aimed right towards us. And there was some trouble with the electricity last week. Phone, radio, and internet was a little screwy Thursday, Friday, as those hit. And we saw some great aurora borealis down as far as Arizona, if your sky was dark enough.
And beautiful sunsets on Fire Island.
Everybody's a little fried right now.
Too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think people are a little fried. And when they're active, just notice that the strength of aspects can feel unusually strong.
They magnify. It kind of amplifies them, I find. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Turns the volume up.
So it's, and a lot of people this week are
not so
reporting
much
fried.
Mm-hmm. Reporting. What are they reporting?
Reporting fried. You know,
just feeling fried. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And. Yeah, and I think that the full moon in Pisces left people in a lot of emotionally soft and sensitive place too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And feeling a little fried, easily tired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And needing extra, you know, it's like extra sleep or not getting enough sleep, or even like a little coldy, you know, kind of just like parts of your body just are kind of a little overwhelmed right now. Yeah, and if we know that, then we can take extra steps to be kind to ourselves, and then also just kind of say, okay, I'm a little overwrought. Let me just kind of give myself a little extra space or a little time. And I've been noticing a lot of I live in New York, which is the land of fighting. When there's solar flares, I've really noticed, you know, because Heather and I talked about them at one point, and it got me very tuned into, okay, I got signed up for the little weather alert when the solar flares are big. And it tends to make, you know, people just much more reactive. You know, they're just like, and so you kind of go, okay, you know, don't, you know, is this necessary to react to this moment of stimulation? And sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. But it's knowing that your chart's going to want to, or you're going to feel it. So we have that. Then into that, we're going to add the Pluto station. Now, Pluto stations take place about 5 days. We start feeling their energy about 5 days before they actually happen. So Pluto station in on Monday. And he's going to come back across the eclipse degrees from April. And but whenever he stops for the 5 days before, which is essentially Wednesday this week, we start to feel him. We feel that buildup in tension.
Oh, man.
Tension
you just
in
got
the body,
board meeting I was on tonight.
Huh? Pardon?
You described my board meeting tonight. I was on a board for a local astrological group, and it was a doozy. Yeah, and I was like,
it was a doozy.
Oh, I think
yeah.
Pluto is stationing. Yes.
Yep. And of course, we're astrologers, so we're supposed to know about this, but on occasion we forget to, you know.
That's
it's like we
count.
Like to know about mm-hmm. this, but we're like, okay, what are we doing? Yeah, so everybody's very mm-hmm. tense, you know, and knowing that you're kind of in the mm-hmm. middle of this tense energy, it just make if you can honor it and say, yeah, I'm really feeling like I need to go to bed, or I really need feeling like I need mm-hmm. to go take a break mm-hmm. from these people. That's, you know, it's not mm-hmm. you're not running away, you're just taking a step out of the room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I also, the other piece with the summer ingress coming, or the end of summer
mm-hmm.
coming,
mm-hmm.
sun goes into Libra. So the last degrees of Virgo, which is this week too, Heather and I both
mm-hmm.
know as Virgos, can be very intense because Virgos are
intense
folk. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We're intense. You know, and we like to get mm-hmm. everything right and be perfect in every way, because, of course, we are. And then we go, well, maybe not perfect in every way, but certainly trying hard. And, you know,
yes.
and there's a lot of energy for criticism. Because Virgo, when he's working in his lower form, which he probably is this week because
mm-hmm.
of Pluto stationing, it's much more critical. So people are more irritated, more, you know, well, if you didn't do that... You know, and if we understand that again, we're much
again. You were at my board
easier.
Meeting tonight. and the positive side, though, of a planet or an aspect or a sign, is the cure for the challenging side.
Yeah.
So, what's the beauty? I mean, because there's so much written about what's wrong with Virgos, and Virgos are one of the best at telling you what's wrong with Virgos.
Mm-hmm.
What's the gift of the Virgo?
The gift of the Virgo is brilliant analysis.
Mm-hmm.
The gift of Virgo
mm-hmm.
is helping you improve the process, aiming towards,
mm-hmm.
you can always make it a little better. It can always be a little more something. And
mm-hmm.
also their beautiful analytical skills, saying, well, you know, if we alphabetize.
I also think there's a compassionate nature. I mean, it is,
yes.
it does have that Piscean other side.
Mm-hmm.
Florence Nightingale, it is a healing aspect. I always think
yes.
it has a relationship to Chiron.
Mm-hmm.
That Virgo,
oh,
when
you?
It
yeah.
stays, if it uses the head that stays away from the mind, if the head acts as an escape pod from the heart and disconnects, we see the dangerous side of Virgo, you know,
mm-hmm.
which focuses on criticism as a way of safety and just for fun, you know.
I like that criticism.
That there
for
is
fun.
A deeply, just for fun. There's a deeply compassionate side to Virgo and to the Virgo heart, which is about how do we all improve together as, you know, a connected one that is part of Virgo when it stays in touch with its heart. So,
right.
it's, you know, any mutable sign, it's easy to fracture and to go in different directions. So when our heart escapes our head escapes our heart, then we see the problem. So right now, when it's getting critical, how can you drop back in your heart, really breathe in it, feel that deep connection that we're working on improving the world rather than critiquing the world? We have to start with feeling the beauty and the respect of it, of all, and the respect of the person that we're talking to and the respect of the effort so far. And then we can take it from there and improve it a step farther. We have to stay in our heart and feel that connection first to keep working the positive end of Virgo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least
and it's hard to get out of the
my
heart.
My theory, and I'm sticking to it.
You know, no, it's easy to get out
mm-hmm.
of the heart because we kind of get caught up in the, well, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But if we are
mm-hmm.
in the heart place.
Yeah,
well,
it's very,
very
easy
good.
To do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, it's a kind placement, but it's, you know, it's a nurse, too. Nurse is
mm-hmm.
a Virgo sign.
Mm-hmm.
So nurses, you know, when I had my foot operated on, you know, I was in the critical care or whatever that thing is where you spend the night and
mm-hmm.
they watch you
mm-hmm.
when you're, make sure you aren't going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lady next to me who had fallen in rapture, you know, was like in the geriatrics. I was like looking at all these old people going, what the hell am I doing here? But there was an old woman who had broken her hip. And she starts going, okay, I'm really nervous. I'm really, you know, like, you know, what's going to happen to me? What, you know? And the nurse went, are you okay right now? And she went, yeah. You know, okay, focus right now. Are you okay right now? And the woman's like, yeah, you know, well, and we're not going to talk about it. We're going to focus on right now. Don't worry about what's going to happen to you. Focus on it. And that's Virgo in its higher form, calmed her down and said, okay, you know, can I help you with this? And they pay attention. They come over and they whisper in your ear, do you need to go to the bathroom? And you go, I don't know. Maybe, you know. That's the Virgo, the attention to detail and the competency in recognizing what needs to be done. They're the person that when you start to cry, holds the Kleenex out to you and says, here, you know, they anticipate that you need the Kleenex. So the higher form is that really deep compassion. And if we look at the, you know, the energy of Virgo when it's working high, but when it's in its form where it's at the last degrees, it can come across, especially with the Pluto station and the hammer of Thor and the fingers of God, it can come across as very critical. So I, you know, I talked to one of my clients today, Maureen, and she was talking, you know, was like, okay, focus. She said, I heard you in my head saying, focus on what they're saying. And it was a big meeting. Everybody was arguing and fighting. And they were like to her, we don't want you to quit. We don't want you to quit. We really like you. We don't want you to leave. And, you know, and she had brought us, and she said, so I stayed focused on what they were saying and not my emotional reaction. So that's also Virgo. They're the person you want taking care of you in the emergency room because they notice things or they fix things or they know how to do it. So that's the other part that's really lovely about Virgo. So, and it's a big week. You know, it's a lot of energy if you're leaving something or losing something or something's leaving you, you know, looking at it and saying, okay, you know, what is it I'm trying to accomplish here? What's my path? If you stand in that place, it can calm that energy way down.
Right.
Calm the critical noise down.
And I think another side of that Pluto is Pluto always asks, what's the right use of power?
Yes.
And it's happy to show you the wrong use of power.
Yes.
But it always comes back to what is the right use of power? And that, so when you find the power dynamics are flying around you, to slow down and say, not am I right, not are they right, but what's a good use of the power here? What's good for all sentient beings' use of power?
Right.
And how do I empower everybody to make it move in a good direction?
Right. Yeah, it's big, 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 big. And then, on top of that, not that we don't already have a lot going on, we are getting towards the back end of Saturn in his Scorpio energy, because he's at 18, going to 19. So he's moving forward, getting ready to wrap up the story he's been working on since last November. So there's a lot of energy around needing to make decisions and figure out where we're going and why we're going and why what are we going to do when we get there. There's a lot of energy around feeling a need to change things because the energy is very important. And then, of course, Uranus is on the south node. So when Uranus is on the south node, there's a releasing that wants to take place of our Aries energy. Wherever our Aries planet, wherever we find Aries in our chart, the planets in there want to run away and join the circus. So let them.
Oh, indeed.
Or let them, so they want to run away and join the circus.
Oh, indeed.
And you go, yeah, I want to run away and join the circus. What is my vision of what this is for? Why am I here? What does this serve? What makes me happy? What do I want? What don't I want? And your job with this is to kind of honor that inner quiet that goes, you know, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Or, you know, I do want to do this, and it looks like this. And that piece is important because then we're standing in our true us, our true authenticity, because we're really doing our own path rather than whatever. But because the North Node is in Libra and Mercury is opposite Uranus this week, we can get some shocking news. You know, like, oh, my God, you know. And we have to go, got it. Shocking news, right?
Mm-hmm. And
that's
how
okay
do
too.
I want to make a good change, right? How do I respond to this shocking news, not just by being shocked? I'm shocked. But
I'm shocked.
What actually has to change? What's the minimum necessary change here? Not what's the maximum necessary change. And then how do I step forward with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And if we honor it that way, then we're not going to feel so overwhelmed. Because it's like that guy in the Casablanca. I'm shocked. I'm shocked there's gambling going on here. You're like, okay, really? You didn't know about the gambling? No, I had no idea. And you go, all right, well, you know, okay, what are you going to do now that you know about it? Because that's the other part. You know, we're in, the planets are on the eclipse degree from April. So the story from April is starting to stir up because we're entering eclipse season next week. And a lot of planets are sitting on that eclipse degree. Mercury just went over it. Uranus has been on it. Venus is going to aspect it. Saturn. I mean, everybody's like stirring it up, right? And it's our choice. Do we stand alone, South Node in Aries, or do we partner? And if we partner, why are we partnering? And where are we going with that relationship, right? That's that's our other story. We thought we wanted to do this, so now that we've gotten that in place, what are we actually doing? And in that capacity, we also have space and choice, places and spaces to make choices. So Heather, what would you say to our listeners?
Shall we open the floor to our people?
Yeah, totally.
I think there's some people
on the line. I don't know if we have any out there. Oh, we do have some people on the line. Okay, cool. So everybody focus on it. And then we also have a new moon next week. So because we're in a balsamic moon, release, it's a letting go. Let go. Send it off to goodwill, even if it's a person. You don't have to keep them around anymore.
And be ready. Yep. And then after you've let go, be ready on the new moon to begin new dynamics, interpersonal dynamics. Pluto will begin to move forward next week. We have a new moon in Libra, and usually the equinox is a wonderful time when everybody is looking to find more egalitarian ways of working. And the doorways open, but we have to walk through them. So look around you for doorways that are opening. Open the door when you can. Greet people with respect and watch how they greet you with respect. And see how you can use that unusual flow. I think of it like locks on a river opening when we hit an equinox.
Oh, I like that. That's
and
a good
have
analogy.
And feel that flow. Yeah.
Locks on a river. I like that. All right, so we're going to take some callers. Ready? How about 212-873? You're on the air. How can we help?
Well, hi.
Hi.
Birthday, February 3rd,
yes.
1952.
February 3rd, 1952.
Okay. Hold on. Just to get that.
1952.
Time
is
and what time?
2 a.m.
2 a.m. even?
No, sorry.
10:02
a.m.
10:02 a.m., okay.
And it's New York, New York.
10:02 a.m. It's Mercury retrograde. Yay! I already have it. I'm like, I'm ready to hide. All right, so what's your question? Or you want to just tell you stuff?
Well, I'm trying to understand astrology a little better and, you know, through transitions and feelings, which I think helps me sense my feelings, past 12 years were just horrendous. And it seems all those negative feelings have gone away, and I'm really awakening to a lot of more positive feelings about myself in general.
Fabulous.
So just curious with the transits, I noticed that Pluto's on the top of my chart, and besides that, I was just wondering what you could help me see there with what's going on.
Now, when did you say that your trouble was, the very negative time?
I think the past 12 years were pretty rotten.
Okay.
I think
so you're
I
starting
had a,
a
very,
new 12?
I was under a very dark cloud.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when we hear 12, we hear Jupiter, right? And Jupiter right now just went over your part of fortune, and he said, let's start a new 12 years of a good fortune, right? So when every planet has an orbit, so we hear, okay, let's go. And you have Jupiter angular. He's in your 12th house. But So when he's very good, he's very good, and when he's very bad, he's very bad. That's basically the way we look at Jupiter. So Pluto on the midheaven at 10:02 a.m., about needing to transform and healthy change. And natally, Pluto's in your fifth house of creativity, so this chart can have a lot of fun, Pluto in the fifth, or it can have a lot of trouble because it's going to run with that, gee, that's hard. So you're starting a new 12-year cycle, so that's good.
And natally, you do not have any mutable planets except your nodes.
Right.
So either the gift of that is you're really good at starting something and you're really good at maintaining, but you're not so good at shifting gears. So when you like your habits, that's wonderful. They really hang in there and you can get things done. When you don't like your habits, like you're depressed and miserable and negative, it's hard to change that. It's not impossible, but it takes considered effort to retrain the habits of your mind because of the lineup of fixed signs. But you've got a very powerful and beautiful grand cross in your natal chart with Venus in Capricorn, conjunct Chiron, Jupiter in Aries at 10 degrees, Uranus at 10 degrees of Cancer, and Saturn at 14 degrees of Libra. And your grand cross has been rung like a bell for the last couple of years with Uranus and Pluto. And it's still going to be affecting, Uranus is just getting ready to move off, so it's going to come back and tag that Saturn again. But Pluto is coming back to ring it off more. It's through your Venus, it's through the Jupiter, it's through Uranus, but it's going to hit the Saturn one more time, a couple more times. So you've already like three quarters of the way through a major transformation. And you'll be able to look back at this time in your life and go, I changed a lot in a short period of time. I learned more. I was excited. Everything that could happen did. One of everything happened in my life, good, bad, and indifferent. But it's allowing you, you know, it's causing a lot of change, but it's also helping you change some fundamental problems that got set in your chart from the get-go. And I look at some deep instability, not in you, but in the family life around you growing up with Uranus right at the bottom of your chart, squaring your Saturn-Neptune conjunction. So you were born with Saturn-Neptune 7 degrees apart, and that is often that it's a kind of like existential Weltschmerz. It's this longing and loneliness and a feeling like it's no use, we're stuck. And this runs on the father's side of the family, and it looks like there was a reason for that. In their lives, they were stuck. And you weren't, but you got born into a situation that felt that, and you've been processing that ever since. And so it's easy to default back to that stuck feeling, like there's no point, we can't make any change, the best thing we can do is hold on. But that's not who you really are. That's not your soul place. And your progressed sun is in Aries right now, so you're really getting ready to shift gears and move forward and release a lot of the physical pain, the emotional pain, and just a pattern of getting stuck. Because you are so natally strong and solid and competent that the minute you get unstuck, you start moving forward. And I think you're really in this place of moving forward.
Yeah,
that's how it feels to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and once you make that change, what really happens is there's this huge burst of energy. And a lot of this year has been about redefining your relationships, who you want to be in relationship with and who you don't. And you're finishing that work up this month. And then you're going to be like, okay, this is my go-to team. Ready to go. So with the Pluto station this week, next week, it's right on your Uranus, literally stationing opposite it on Monday, Tuesday, and this week you're going to feel it building up because it's forming a square in your chart and it's setting you up and going, okay, let's go. I'm ready to go. And so the go team is, it's like, okay, team, let's go. And I would encourage, with this expansion energy, there's a big burst in your creativity house too. Jupiter goes through your fifth. So there's a lot of energy wanting to take you out into the world and say, go rah. So, go rah. Heather and I cheer you on. And the British lady said we're out of time. So So 10 seconds. It goes fast. I didn't realize I went on so long. Oh, well. I was long-winded tonight, folks. Sorry. So that's it for Anne, signing off here at my bright red desk. And
this is Heather Rowan Robbins, RowanRobbins.com from Minnesota.
And Mark will be back with us next week because he went to bed early because he has to get up at 5 in the morning to lead a yoga class. So if you're up late and you go to bed really quick, you can catch Mark in yoga class tomorrow morning. Neither Heather or
and
I will be
well
there,
worth
though.
It.
All right. So take care, folks.
Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Good night.